Belinda Audio and Canon Gate Books present this unabridged recording of
Memento Mori by Muriel Spark, read by Eve Karp. Chapter 1. Dame Letty Colston refilled her fountain pen and continued her letter. One of these days I hope you will write as brilliantly on a happier theme. In these days of Cold War, I do feel we should soar above the murk and smog and get into the clear crystal. The telephone rang. She lifted the receiver. As she had feared, the man spoke before she could say a word. When he had spoken the familiar sentence, she said, "Who is that speaking? Who is it?" But the voice, as on 8 previous occasions, had rung off. Dame Letty telephoned to the assistant inspector, as she had been requested to do. "It has occurred again," she said.
"I see. Did you notice the time?"
"It was only a moment ago."
"The same thing?"
"Yes," she said, "the same. Surely you have some means of tracing—"
"Yes, Dame Letty, we will get him, of course."
A few moments later, Dame Letty telephoned to her brother Godfrey. "Godfrey, it has happened again."
"I'll come and fetch you, Letty," he said. "You must spend the night with us."
"Nonsense. There is no danger. It is merely a disturbance."
"What did he say?"
"The same thing. And quite matter-of-fact. Not really threatening. Of course the man's mad. I don't know what the police are thinking of. They must be sleeping. It's been going on for 6 weeks now."
"Just those words?"
"Just the same words. Remember, you must die. Nothing more."
"He must be a maniac," said Godfrey.
Godfrey's wife, Charmian, sat with her eyes closed, attempting to put her thoughts into alphabetical order, which Godfrey had told her was better than no order at all, since she now had grasp of neither logic nor chronology. Charmian was 85. The other day a journalist from a weekly paper had been to see her. Godfrey had subsequently read aloud to her the young man's article. "By the fire sat a frail old lady, a lady who once set the whole of the literary world, if not the Thames, on fire. Despite her age, this legendary figure is still abundantly alive." Charmian felt herself dropping off, and so she said to the maid, who was arranging the magazines on the long oak table by the window, "Taylor, I am dropping off to sleep for 5 minutes. Telephone to St. Mark's and say I am coming." Just at that moment, Godfrey entered the room, holding his hat and wearing his outdoor coat.
"What's that you say?" he said.
"Oh, Godfrey, you made me start."
"Taylor," he repeated. "St. Mark's? Don't you realise there is no maid in this room, and furthermore you are not in Venice?"
"Come and get warm by the fire," she said, "and take your coat off," for she thought he had just come in from the street.